Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
spread out or we live.
Okay, welcome everybody to tonight's call. Ida Morris, Orangeburg, Carolina, with Pastor Nathan Hill, and we survived the hurricane. Nathan has power, and he left me over here in the dark. but anyway, we have a great show lined up for tonight. And we'd like to continue to pray for all those people who are still in bad places, in bad shape in North Carolina and various other places, I've been told, because I hadn't seen anything. But there are a lot of people that lost a lot of loved ones and their lives during this hurricane. And we just have to keep them lifted up in prayer. And Dr. A has some great news for us tonight, I'm sure. And I would like to tell her right now I have my solis up and my other things. Well, I don't have my water heater fixed, but I'm working on that. But anyway, Dr. A, take it away and give us some good news tonight.
Thank you, everyone, for being on the show tonight. And before we begin, Ida, I thank you and Nathan for your faithfulness. And I'm so glad God spared, you know, your life and put his hand around your family. I'm so sorry, Ida, you've been without power for almost a week. But I thank God that your spirit is strong and you're full of thanksgiving for what God did in terms of sparing, you know, your family and your housing, because so many people lost their homes, their cars, and everything they had. And so I just want to just stop and pause a moment to give thanks for keeping you and Nathan safe and to pray that God would increase the angels in your region to restore everything that's been lost and to bring power back to you quickly. That is me. It's a lot. Thank my legal authority as a woman of God over South Carolina, North Carolina, the areas hit by Hurricane Matthew. And God, we just ask you to pour out your grace and mercy. I want to stick the island of Haiti in there, that your mercy would abound and that you would mobilize resources from the four corners of the earth to bring restoration to that country. And Father God, that through the storm, may the spirit of thanksgiving rise for those who are left standing and all they have is you. I'm asking you for your mercy and grace to cover and restore quickly. Heal those that need healing, comfort those that need comfort, and bring resources to renew and restore their lives in Jesus' name. We decree it so in your heaven, and we decree it so in your earth. And I apologize. I know there may be some background noise on the speaker. I'm on the highway, and I'm driving while we're doing this show. I've had a death in the family, so I mobilized myself to go to speak with my family during this time. And I just solicit the prayers for you to just pray for my family and pray that the spirit of comfort be with us in this time of loss. I lost my 47-year-old baby cousin. And our hearts are deeply saddened. But God is a faithful God, and we just know that he transitioned in peace. And may his mother and his parents be comforted during this great time of grief. We know that God is a comforter, and may he be a comforter unto them in the name of Lord Jesus. So we're going to continue with our campaign. This is our Pink Clinic, Pink Tuesday Radio, celebrating breast health and celebrating the opportunity to sustain breast health, because that's what it's all about. We are under a nationwide awareness of breast cancer. This is our Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the month of October. And all around you, everything may be pink, including this, our pink radio station. Pink Radio Show on Tuesdays. We've been talking about the environment and breast health because since 1995, the spotlight has been on the environment and its contributing factors to breast cancer and cancer in general. And I want to just pause for a moment to give a shout out to the University of Cincinnati that has been archiving data on breast health and women that live in the Miami Valley, that region around the Ohio River has an inordinate high number of breast cancer in the Midwest. And they have indeed identified a number of factors that come from the environment that may be causing breast cancer. Last week we talked about the chemicals that they're having sustained exposure to. And as our friend from Canada, Rod, pointed out last week, that there's also another factor contributing to breast cancer and sustained inflammation in breast tissue, and that is environmental radiation. I want to talk about environmental radiation and its role in breast cancer and breast disease because a lot of women have fibrous or cystic breasts, meaning that the breast is full of, the breast is impaired in offloading toxic waste. And so it makes the breast very fibrous, and you get very poor oxygen perfusion or oxygen transport in the breast tissue. And as a result, the breast cannot properly offload toxic waste. It cannot properly uptake oxygen and nutrients. And it is a precursor to all kinds of pathologies or diseases of the breast. And so we want to talk about the first kind of radiation, which is ionized radiation. Now, if you look around your house, there's a lot of things in your house that may be look innocent, but that are emitting a type of ionized radiation called radon. Whenever you hear radon, radon speaks to the fact that there is the presence of decaying uranium. Believe it or not, you can find particles of ionized radiation or stones, uranium stones, in granite countertops in your kitchens and bathrooms. They can have ionized radiation emitting from them. I was blown away to find those beautiful ceramic vases, the vases that you have sitting on your bookshelf, some of the vases that you use to hold your fresh flowers. They are also emitting a type of ionized radiation from the fabrics that they use to make them have a glaze and shine. One of the other things that blew me away, and who would ever think that the fire alarm that you have positioned up outside your bedroom or outside your bathroom also has and can be emitting ionized radiation. Now, what's the problem with ionized radiation? Ionized radiation poisons the blood, in particular radon. When you are checking for ionized levels in the house, they use radon testing meters or radon quantifying meters to test for these high levels of radioactive gases. And the thing that is so diabolical is when you breathe it in and it breaks down in the body, it can turn into alpha particles that attach to the lungs. It wasn't until Lisa Williams took over the Environmental Protection Agency. Up to that point, we pretty much associated that ionized radiation or radon caused lung cancer because when the body is inhaling it or even ingesting it, it breaks down to alpha particles. But now we know that sustained exposure to ionized radiation from all these household items does more than just combust to alpha particles. It can also break down into polonium-210, which is highly, highly toxic to the blood. And it can impede hemoglobin. It can cause the body to offload its hemoglobin. And it can really wreak havoc on the red blood cells in the body. When the body has sustained exposure to polonium, the cells can clump and form blood clots. That's why when people start getting blood clots, the first thing you need to do environmentally is have a radon test done of the house to determine the ionized radiation exposure. The second type of environmental radiation is our favorite topic to talk about. Electromagnetic frequencies. How in the world does it have or can it affect breast health? I often share on this show the new OSHA regulation 1910.333A. I'm going to give it again for those of you who are taking notes. OSHA regulation 1910.333A. It talks about employees that work with energized machinery. That's anything that plugs in should have protective gear. Why? Because we now know two things about electricity. We know that it affects the polarity of blood formed elements in the blood, not just the red blood cell, but it can affect the white blood cell. It can create so much stress that the body makes excessive white blood cells just to balance and fortify your immune system because of sustained exposure to the non-ionizing radiation or electrical current. We now know that because of non-ionizing radiation, it emits static, and that static is so disruptive to cellular communication and can render a precursor to cancer. What is the first stage of cancer? When people say, okay, I have cancer stage one, what are they implying? They are implying that you have sustained inflammation. Sustained inflammation is classified as stage one cancer. When you can't, and that's the reason why in the wellness circles and on wellness workshops and wellness platforms, there's this big campaign on getting everybody to take turmeric, because turmeric is highly effective in reducing inflammation at the cell level and helping the body to fight cancer. If you cannot reduce your inflammation, swelling causes decreased oxygen absorption and decreased offloading of toxic waste. And it's a precursor to you developing abnormal cell, abnormal tissue in that area and getting cancer. And so, non-ionizing radiation in the form of electricity, in the form of wireless transmission, is all exemplary or examples of non-ionizing radiation, which is also called electromagnetic fields. Oh, okay, we can go either way. So, that is why we're here today. We're here today because we have to make people aware that when you have sustained exposure to radiation, either by gas, radioactive gas, which radon is, ionized radiation forms coming from your ceramic fixtures and from your granite counters in the bathroom and in the kitchen. There was a story about a doctor that bought a beach house up in New Jersey. And she had the health physicists come out, and they checked the granite counter. There was so much granite in this house. And she couldn't believe that the admittance, the ionized radioactive gas coming off of the granite in the kitchen and the bathrooms was so high that it had the levels of radon in her house at high toxic levels, which are levels above 4.0 picocuries per liter of radioactive gas. And they had a big article in the newspaper because she had hired a contractor to come in and rip all of that granite countertops out of her house. Thousands of dollars, like it was something crazy, more than $12,000 worth of granite that she had taken out of the house. And now that we have OSHA engaged and also citing that the non-ionizing radiation of electromagnetic fields is absorbing in the body and predisposition employees to not just breast cancer and breast disease, but also to heart failure and to injury to the blood vessels and blood vessel disease. So the campaign has got to expand, and that's why I celebrate and give a shout out to my colleagues at the University of Cincinnati Breast and Environmental Clinic, and to my colleagues at the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is a part, which has partnered with this effort to have women and men walking for breast health and walking for breast cancer and educating people that your breast disease, your breast cancer could have been caused by radiation, electromagnetic fields, radioactive gases that you have sustained exposure to in your house. So now what can we do about this? Well, the first thing you do is you got to be an educated consumer. You need to know what your levels are. You can do that in two ways. Either you can measure it yourself, or you can hire somebody to measure it for you. Now, to hire someone to measure it for you, you need to contact the state, and you need to find out who is certified by the state to be able to conduct these kinds of tests, because you have to be licensed by the state and registered with the state to be able to conduct tests to measure ionized radiation. That's a fact. The other thing you need to do is you need to be able to contact the person, get your levels, and then get an intervention plan. What are you going to do if you find out your levels are high? It may be that you have to put in mitigators. There are many companies that do the testing also have the ability to get you financed to put in the proper mitigation systems that you need to vent the gas out of your house. Now, how do they do it? It's usually associated, radon is usually or oftentimes associated with houses that have basements. But don't be deceived. If you have a crawl space, even if you have a slab, if that slab is cracked and you have radon in the soil, in the dirt that the house is built in, you can have radon off-gassing up into your house. And so you want to make sure that you have somebody that's licensed, bonded, and insured to measure and quantify radon gas and ionized gas in your home. also want to get your water tested. Because if you have a hot water tank in the basement, if you have a water filtration system in the basement, and it can pick up that radioactive gas, and it can be absorbed into your water system. Just like if you have a furnace in your basement, and that furnace has a hole in it, it can pull radon into the furnace, and it can emit it on all levels of your house. So the thinking was, once upon a time, they tested the basement. If you had a crawl space or a slab, they tested the first floor. But the new theories of thought is that you need to have radon tests done on every level of your house in case the furnace is throwing the radon through the house. And so that's how you need to pursue with your radon testing. For electromagnetic fields, you need to figure out which system you want to qualify the measurements in. Whether you want to get a qualifying meter that measures in milligauss, most engineers and health physicists measure in milligauss. And because the world of radiation measurement is so complicated, because there's so many different fields of measurement, you can measure in gram Stetzer units, you can measure in hertz, you can measure in biometric units of radiation. You can measure in milligauss. There are so many systems, it becomes, what do you want to measure in? My recommendation is you measure both in gram Stetzer units and you measure in milligauss. Because when you talk to engineers and health physicists, they're going to want the numbers in milligauss. And because the gram Stetzer microsurge is now becoming a standard unit of measurement in healthcare, many doctors have incorporated it in hospitals, especially in the military, have incorporated the use of it to quantify microsurge, because Dr. Stetzer, Dave Stetzer, has devoted his life to rendering a legacy that makes operating rooms in hospitals safer by reducing sustained exposure to electromagnetic fields for patients and soldiers. And that's why he's committed. And today, we can have everybody need to conduct a pink clinic in your house. You got to know, you have to know the level of exposure that you're being exposed to. If you're using a milligauss machine, you need to know that any number that's over 0.425 is the highest level of electromagnetic fields exposure that you need to have. Anything over that can damage red blood cells. If you're using the gram Stetzer meter, you need to know that the recommendations are for levels below 25 and certainly under 25 is recommended, below 25 is preferred, below 40 is recommended. Because we know that when the numbers are below 40, that we can sustain the integrity and the efficacy of the red blood cell. And that's your transport system for oxygen and nutrients in the body. The reason why we have so many people with chronic fatigue now is because the oxygen is being lost. It's being lost because so many cells are imbalanced in the body. So many cells are in a reverse spin. So many cells are being clumped that the doctors now are prescribing aspirin and vitamin E as standard protocol for people who have chronic diseases like high blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease. That aspirin is prescribed therapeutically to help to sustain the polarity and forward spin of the cell so you don't have clumping. Have you ever seen so many people with blood clots? Just a month ago, we had one of the medical doctors that was listening in from Washington, D.C., and she's been intrigued by this whole conversation. I was out there speaking at a conference. She shadowed me for a couple of days. We went around to test some houses, and it was profound to see how high the microsurge, how high the EMF was. And if you don't know, Washington, D.C. has been officially named as having the highest number of African-American women dying of stage 3 and stage 4 breast cancer in the United States. And so because of that, there is a citywide, a region-wide ride effort to look at why are so many women dying in the nation's capital in the heart of the city. And we're looking at factors, looking at the chemical conversion in the heart of the city. We're talking 20 blocks from the White House, that we have the highest number of women dying from stage 3 or 4 breast cancer. We're talking about in a place of progress, a place that they proclaim is recession-proof. And I'm sorry, excuse me one second. We have an emergency. We have to stop. So we have to begin to look at these places. Yeah. Well, hold on one second. Well, we have an emergency. Hey, Ron. Lynn, we got to hear about this testimony. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
But I want to make sure my bag didn't fall off.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, I'm here. I saw my buddy Brian on the weekend. And for a guy who was having headaches for 2-3 days at a time, they're down to about 2 hours. Now he can function the rest of the day completely. His strength and stamina has very much improved with a lot more energy. If you remember when you tested him, how he was shaking. Hello? Hello?
We're still here. Go ahead and talk. We're still here.
Okay, well, for the shaking, he doesn't shake not a bit, which is a complete turnaround. And he used to have pain going up his arms, and there's almost no more pain going up his arms. And his legs, he used to have pain going up to the groin, which wasn't very good because they were talking of amputation at the groin level. Well, he has almost no more pain in his legs up to the groin. And his general pain from on a level of 1 to 10 going down from 10, which he's down around 4 now, which is a very good improvement. And doctor, if you remember when they did the B-Dort test, he couldn't get his fingers together. Are you there?
Ron, this is Ida. Dr. Lolly, she's there, but she can't talk right now because they're driving.
Okay, so I tested him the other day, and he's very, very, very strong. A huge difference. his insulin shots, which were 5 a day, he's down around 3 or 4. And least but not last, or last but not least, he doesn't take morphine anymore.
Wow.
So my buddy Brian is doing extremely well, and we'll keep in close contact with him and see that he continues to improve. And that's the update on Brian as of October the 10th.
That's great news. Great news.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dr. Alali, was she able to hear this?
I'm not sure whether she could hear or not. She may have us just on mute so that we can't hear
she got emergency.
Them. Right.
Just hold on. Just give her 5 minutes and she'll be back on. I'll cut her back in a few minutes. I got to mute out right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't want to, you know, I don't know what type of emergency they had, but it was in the car when they were driving. I'll put her back on. Y'all can go ahead and talk. Y'all got any other information? Hello? Rod? Lynn?
No,
yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, Lynn is still here.
Okay. She doesn't come back in, I'll bring her back up. Okay, Dr. Laura, you back.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you... Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. Lynn, I am so excited that Brian is having such phenomenal success because Dr. Bianca is archiving. She has become very interested in his progress because she is beginning to see a great correlation between electromagnetic frequencies and the management of people with diabetes.
Were you able to hear what I mentioned?
Oh, absolutely. I heard the whole report. I'm not sure what happened, but I was trying to talk back with you, and for some reason, you know, you couldn't hear me, but I could hear you. But that is so miraculous because the fact that he's pain-free and he's a bilateral amputee, he has both of his legs cut off, and he was plagued with phantom pain. And I think, you know, we have to pause right here and say that these flat battery nanobio balances were never intended to treat, to cure, to prevent, or diagnose disease. They were never intended as a pain management system. But because they are natural frequencies that are interlocked to help block and discharge static electromagnetic radiation, so many people find that when they wear them, they're phenomenal in increasing their comfort. And we have never had the FDA to evaluate their use. They have been included in a clinical study right now at Columbia University for the use with children that have seizure disorders. And I heard from Destiny's mom, Angel, about an hour before the show. They were just getting back from her clinical study in New York. They have to go every month. And Destiny continues to be doubtful of her doctors and practitioners because she's doing so many things well. And they are greatly astounded by her stamina, her endurance. Because remember when she first got started, she had to go to bed about every 2 to 3 hours. She would be so exhausted, and she needed a couple naps during the course of a day. Now she can run 10 hours without having to take a rest period. And her mom says she continues to soar in school, making grades. She made AB honor roll twice in a row, and she's never done that in the history of her attender through elementary school, middle school, and now high school. And she ended the year last year having made the AB Honor Roll for the last two grading periods of the year. So we're extremely excited for her this year, and her her vocational skills have just enhanced. Mom says she's now counting money, which is something she has never been able to do until this past school year. So just to give you an update, but back to Brian, that's so phenomenal that he is free and off of that morphine. And how long was he on morphine?
I guess he's been on for several years, because just the, you remember the open wound that he had on his hand?
Right.
Okay, well, that has, within 1 week, that completely closed up. And
my.
Now if you were to see that today, it's forming like new skin all around it. You wouldn't know that it was an open wound.
Wow, and he had that for several years, if I recall.
3 years.
3 years. I remember that wound was not healed. And he's got the same testimony like Minister David. He had that wound on his foot for 8 long years that would not heal. And that wound has been healed now for going on 5 years. That is a miracle.
Yeah, the doctors told him that it won't close, and they would have to eventually amputate, because it won't be the fingers that they would amputate. So he's going to be seeing his diabetic doctor on November the 18th. I'm anxious to see.
You got me holding my breath to find out what his next hemoglobin A1C is going to be.
Well, that's the sugar level, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was up around 24 plus, and he's now down between 4 and 8, depending on the time of the reading.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, and his insulin, well, instead of 5 a day, he's doing 3 and 4.
Wow.
So he's doing extremely well.
I mean, for a 90-day response, I would say this one goes down in the record as a miracle. God has really answered prayer because he's a walking, talking miracle. So what about the dreams to return to race car racing?
Well, he's because of he's getting so much strength back in his arms and his legs, he's already starting to work the mechanic on fixing his vehicle so that when he's ready to race, he'll be able to go.
That's phenomenal. You tell him he's got to send me an invitation to his first race.
Yeah.
At least 2 months ahead of time, because I want to be there.
Yeah. Well, I'll be up to date with him, that's for sure.
Well, that's just phenomenal. That is fabulous.
Yep. Very, when you see him today compared to when you saw him on the 15th of August, the look on his face is just not the same.
Well, the next time you go see him, you're going to have to take a picture and send it to me so I can shop it around to everybody in our email blast. I'm trying to send out the invitations by using the event protocol at and Facebook, so I can render postings in there. So even though it says the event is December 27th, I try to put today when we send it out so that that information can be archived week to week.
Okay. I might see him again on the weekend. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, I appreciate you staying on top of that, Lynn, and certainly sharing with us every week. And one day we'll have to figure out a way how we can three-way to get Brian on the show so that he will have an opportunity to share this testimony. And what he needs to do, you know, we need to write an article. I know you got your wife front page and center when her tumor dissolved. We need a newspaper to do a story on him, because this is another miracle. And maybe we have to do a television documentary, Miracles in Canada. Because there's so many unusual, extraordinary miracles that's taking place up there that it's just phenomenal to see how this whole campaign is unfolding in North America.
Yep, yep. Well, if he keeps improving, he figures he could probably be back racing by next year.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal.
Yep.
That is phenomenal. Well, is there anyone else that has any testimony that they want to share tonight? If not, I just want to say that Dr. Smith Yink is Dr. Bianca. She's got a fabulous testimony with her eye. She was scheduled to have surgery for pressure in her eye that was above 24. She called. She wanted to be on the show tonight, but she's occupied and she couldn't get on the show tonight. But she had a blood vessel that ruptured in her eye, and she had a very large area where the blood vessel was. And she went to the doctor. They checked the eye. The pressure in the eye was 24. And so the doctor said, we have to do surgery on her eye. And I'm so grateful that the EGB technology had come. And I told her we retrofitted her glasses and we started her on nutrients, because I tell people that when you have eye pathology, you have high pressure in the eye and inflammation in the eye, that means two things. The eye is not getting enough oxygen and the eye is not getting enough food. And you have to give the eye both. So she went to her doctor, and, of course, she is a medical doctor. And I shared with her the same protocol that I teach doctors that work with patients that have retinal bleeding, macular inflammation. And she got her glasses retrofitted with the nanotechnology and started taking the vitamins and minerals for the eye. And within 1 week, the hemorrhaging in the eye had ceased. And when she went for surgery and checked her eye, the pressure had gone from 24 down to 16. So she didn't have to have the comprehensive care regimen, minimal procedure to help balance out her eye. So this is like the fifth of six major miracle and major testimony with how effective the nanotechnology is with eye pathology and helping the eye to balance and helping the body to block radiation absorption in these areas, where there is weakness and swelling in the eye. And I think we're going somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an uphill journey. I feel sometimes like we're salmon swimming uphill to lay our eggs, but the good news is our labor is not going to be in vain. I am so excited that Ida, you got your solies in. How you feeling having your solies in your house?
Well, I think I did sleep better. I think my sleep, I've been sleeping for a little longer time before I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And you get a more
I've been sleeping, I'm waking up every hour.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
But I did notice that I slept until 5 o'clock after I did go to sleep the other night. And
oh,
like
wow.
I said, you know, every hour I'm just waking up for whatever reason.
Well, I am so excited because we have been testing Soli's interface with solar panels, and it has perfect interface with solar panels. And it was interesting that you said your sleep was better because we put them in 3 test houses now that have solar panels, and everyone says that. They said it makes them more peaceful. Their sleep, they have like a deeper, more restful sleep. And we have perfect balance, I mean, with the solar panels. And so we know that the future of solar panels is getting ready to change. It's getting ready to look more like our system, our tubes, and the bioharmonics that we're using. And so we're excited about the future, and we're excited that Soli is going to be a leading lady in the campaign to go green and reduce our dependency upon energy. She is the new sustainable green, and what we're going to be able to do with the future of these biosmart solar technologies is just so exciting. And so we had quite a bit of response for those of you that's interested in getting solar panels. You've been telling your friends and your church leaders and your community leaders, and we really have a campaign taking off with these solar panels, the solar panel companies that we're working with. And they are excited about Soli, and they're excited about they're excited about the future of how they can become more efficient and sustainable in directing energy. Any other questions, any other testimonies?
I think I could benefit from those solar panels right now.
Well, all right.
Well, if I had, I would see in the dark, right?
Absolutely. I think that when you have solar, because you're pulling the energy from the solar panel, and you don't use the energy from the electrical company unless you get overshadowed and you don't get a lot of sun. And in your state, South Carolina gets a lot of sun. So that's the reason why they have a massive campaign in your state to get people to transition to solar while you can get these panels. Because solar panels have been part of our environment and part of our culture for, I'm going to say, at least 30 years and maybe more. But you had to pay for the panels. I didn't realize they were so expensive. The average small house is $50,000 to retrofit with solar panels. And the average large house, I'm talking 6,000 square feet, on the average, is $100,000. I was like, what? I didn't realize they were so expensive. And so to have the opportunity to get them before Obama gets out of administration, because his administration is pushing the giveaway of these solis to level the playing field, so you have to spend at least $70 a month on electricity. And I saw a lady's electric bill, solar panels. She has a 6,000 square foot house, and the solar panel took her bill from an average of $400 to $440 a month all the way down to $125 a month. So it's almost a 70% saving for her. And I was just totally dumbfounded to see the purpose of solar panels is to help to relieve some of the demand that's on the grids and to make us more sustainable. And by reducing that kind of demand, I can certainly understand why. You know, there's this great campaign to give these panels away and so that we can become more sustainable as a community. Any other comments or questions? Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let everybody go tonight. I appreciate you interrupting your evening, your busy schedule, to be with us on this show. Pink Tuesday, we're focusing on the environment and breast health. Don't just take this information and sit down on it. Make some phone calls and tell people, listen, you got to get your house tested for radon. You got to know if the granite that you have in your house, the fire alarm that you have in your house, are sources emitting ionized radiation. You need to know what the microsurge is in your house. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know can kill you. Our houses are making us sick. Our houses are contributing to this epidemic of breast cancer. We have to know. We have to live on intention. We have to know, and when we find the numbers, we have to do something about it. This is Dr. O'Lally. I'm going to see you next week, next Tuesday, for another excerpt on the Pink Clinic, Breast Health and the Environment. Good night, everyone. I love you, appreciate you, celebrate you for being on the line. Let's do what we can to help the people of the hurricane victims and be safe. I'm over and out. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.
Good night.
Safe travels.
really do feel like.